If you have your hymnals, open to 263. We're not going to sing. I want to read the words of that little hymn that I've never heard it sung before, but it's an introduction to today's message. And the title is Fire of God, Thou Sacred Flame. Because you notice the title is Earth, Wind, and Fire. And the hymn goes like this. Fire of God, thou sacred flame, Spirit who in splendor came, let thy heat my soul refine till it glows with love divine. Breath of God that swept in power in the Pentecostal hour, holy breath be thou in me, source of vital energy. Strength of God, thy might within, conquer sorrow, pain, and sin. Fortify from evil's art all the gateways of my heart. Truth of God, thy piercing rays, penetrate my secret ways. May the light that shames my sin guide me holier paths to win. Love of God, thy grace profound, knoweth neither age nor bound. Come, my heart's own guest to be, dwell forevermore in me. These are very deep, powerful words, aren't they? If we were to meditate on them, I think we could meditate for a very long time. The focus of this morning's message will be on the fire part of the title. And before I begin, I'd like to quickly mention five elements of this message involving fire. And I think you know them all. Fire consumes, it refines, it gives light, it gives warmth, and we also refer to the fire of passion. We're going to look at all five elements in this morning message, but first, let's bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask, O God, that you come into this place and that you make your presence known and real. I pray that your Holy Spirit will not only be here, generally speaking, but that your Spirit will penetrate into the deepest recesses of our hearts and minds, and that we will know, that we will hear, that we will understand, that we will leave this place on fire for you. And I thank you, O God, for being here, and I offer myself as your servant. And I thank you that you are with me, for without you I can do nothing. I thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Earth, wind, and fire. Some of you may know, you may have heard that before. There was a band called Earth, Wind, and Fire some years ago, which I never listened to. But I do know the name. I saw the name. And Earth, Wind, and Fire, we have you and I, for the earth part, you and I are earthbound, aren't we? This is where we live. This is our home. We are on this planet called Earth. And up to now, we're still here. And someday we are hoping to leave. But right now, this is our home. And if you haven't figured out yet, for all the goodness, all the beautiful things on this earth, and there are many, aren't there? But it's also a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess from at every level of human existence. There are very strange things going on, and most of it we know nothing about. And that's even more, if you want to think of it along certain lines, that's even more scary, the things we don't know. It's a mess. When I checked the news yesterday morning, my heart felt like, I felt like I wanted to weep when I read the story from New Zealand. What an awful, awful tragedy. A sickening, I believe, satanically inspired action. And this kind of stuff is going on all the time. That's only one little thing. And we hear of the corruption in governments. And I mean, I could go on. I could be up here a long time, couldn't I? But I don't want to go on because I got better things to get to. It's not just about living on this earth. There is more. Earth, wind. Now, I hesitated to put wind in the title because I'm so sick of wind since Thanksgiving, and I'm sure no one here needs a reminder of how windy it has been in the last few months. And it's especially bad where I come from because we have no trees or barely any trees. Everything is pretty much flat, so when the wind blows, we know about it. It's unreal. I feel like I've been fighting the wind all winter on my walks because most of the time, and sometimes I even had to get dropped off somewhere down the shore so I could walk back with the wind behind me. It's absolutely crazy. The Bible talks about wind. It talks about the winds of strife, for example. Winds are a symbol of political strife. The wind is also used to describe at least the results of the actions or activity of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting. At Pentecost, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. That was a real thing, a real event. I don't know if they thought the building was going to blow down. I'm not sure. But there was something unusual going on. Here we are. And the message is going to sort of take off from this wind, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, because the scripture reading that Aaron read earlier, and maybe we'll take a quick look at that once again. In Luke chapter 3, it says, as I just run through it here, this is John the Baptist, of course, and people are asking him who he is and whether he's the Messiah or the Christ. And he says, I baptize you with water, but there's someone coming much mightier, much greater than I am. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I used to always wonder about that, why it said the Holy Spirit and fire. But then verse 17 kind of explains it, at least to a certain extent. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor using, you know, the agricultural terms here, and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That takes us right into the first thing about fire. And the fire is something, as we know, which consumes. It consumes the chaff. What is the chaff? If you had to say, you take down the wheat and you burn the chaff is really that which is of what? Yeah, the chaff is really good for very little, isn't it? Or if anything, You get the good part, and the chaff is destroyed. It's left over. Useless. And what do you think chaff represents? Anybody want to take a stab at what chaff represents spiritually? Okay. The wicked, yes. In a more general sense, it represents wickedness or sin. Here's a question. Because you don't hear a lot about sin sometimes these days. People don't want to talk about sin. Strangely. The fire that consumes. Before I mention sin, I recall a little incident that I had in Australia. At the end of 1 week, I heard the forecast. And it said, if you can get your mind around this, it's going to be 45 degrees on Saturday. And I said to myself, because I lived inland, and it's a lot hotter inland than it is by the coast, I said to myself, I'm getting out of here. I am not staying inland. And I took off before the weekend started. I headed for the coast. I had to drive 4.5 hours to this particular part of the coast. I could have gone closer, but I went on, spent a couple of days, and the temperature soared, even where I was along the coast, but not quite up to 45. I found out later that in Melbourne, where I was living, it got up to 47. And sometime during the day on Saturday, something exploded on the north end of the valley where I lived. I was on the south end of the valley. Something exploded. And when I say something, I mean the trees exploded with fire. An electrical wire, because it was quite windy, broke off and set a spark to the eucalypt trees. And literally, as we say, all hell broke loose. And it took off. I didn't know this. On Sunday evening, when I came over the ridge to the west, I was coming from the west, I came over the ridge, and when you come over the ridge, you could see the Yarra Valley. That's just the name of the valley. They grow grapes there. It's a major wine-producing region. So I came to the ridge, and when I got up on top of the ridge and looked, because you see the whole valley at once, I was absolutely blown away. The north half of the valley was black. It was green when I left, and now it's all black. The south end was fine where I lived, but the north end was all black. The trees were black. The grass was all black. Some of the homes were black. The fires in Australia, there's nothing else. They've really moved. Something like the ones you see in California sometimes. They create their own weather system and everything, lightning, and they're gone within 15 minutes. That particular one went 7 kilometers in 15 minutes. So there were 170 people burned in their vehicles, in their homes, in this particular one. It's called Black Saturday now. It's the worst fire ever in Australia's history. Burned down 2 towns, like almost completely. The fire consumed everything in its path at a very rapid pace. I was amazed. There's still, plumes of smoke smoldering. The reason my place didn't burn down, the wind changed as it was going across the valley. So it shifted from a strong north wind to a strong south wind. So it blew it back on itself and it burned out. The fire that consumes. I'll never forget the image of those black trees. It went so fast that it just took the leaves. It didn't burn the branches. It didn't burn the trunk. It just left everything black. And strangely enough, when they recover, the leaves come out on the trunk from the ground right up through to the top. It's the strangest thing I ever saw. And then it just develops later and forms, gets back to where it's supposed to be. But the leaves first come out on the old trunk. Yeah, it's really, really weird. It looks kind of awesome. But anyway, the fire that consumes. I want the fire of God, the fire of the Spirit, to come into me and consume the sin that's, you know, the Bible talks about the sins that entangle us, the things that we don't want to let go, the things that we kind of enjoy, but we pretend we don't. There might be open sin, there might be secret sin, but the Lord wants them gone. Because I can assure you, both from Scripture and from experience, that sin does us no good and we cannot flourish with the Lord if we decide to hang on to them. The Lord can take care of any sin. Anybody here believe that? What God asks me to do, He enables me to do. If the Spirit is all-powerful and lives in me, the Spirit is not going to rest and say to me, oh, it's okay to have your darling little sins. Never. The Spirit will always press and press and press till the sin is gone. Because sin interferes with our relationship with God. I don't know. We all have our little darling sins, every one of us. And we all have issues. And we need to bring them to God and keep bringing them to God until they are gone. And fight with God in His name. Because He's not against us. He wants us to be free. If something controls me, it runs my life. And I don't want sin to run my life. I want the Spirit of God to run my life. The fire that consumes. The second one is the fire that refines. The refining process. I think there's a song called The Refining Fire by Steve Green. I'm pretty sure there is because I've heard it. The fire that refines. Refinement is not the same as overcoming some great sin, although they are connected. Refining is referring to the perfecting of my character to become more and more like Christ. It's another word for sanctification. We are growing all the time, and there's no stopping place. I want to be refined. The Bible tells me in Revelation, the Church of Laodicea, of which we're a part, says that we need gold refined in the fire. I need refining. I'm a bit rough around the edges sometimes in different ways. I'm not a rough kind of person, but I got rough traits. I need refining. I am not always Christ-like in how I relate to things and people. What about you? Are you always Christ-like? Need any perfecting? See, we don't have to be afraid of the word perfection. Perfection means to develop and grow, and you're perfect at each step of the way. You ever see an imperfect plant? It starts out, what a beautiful, perfect plant, but it keeps developing and developing and developing. It's perfect all on the way, isn't it? The refining fire. Impurities. You take iron ore from the ground. Can you take that ore just as it is and make eye quality, eye strength steel? What is it you have to do with the iron ore before you can make high quality steel? It has to be refined to remove the impurities, the dross, get rid of the trash. It's a good word, impurities. And I'm just going to ask you, don't ever tell me what kinds of things goes through your head, but how pure are our thinking, are our thoughts? What kind of things are we reading or looking at? And we need to answer the question, don't we? I want to have pure thoughts and a pure mind that honors and glorifies God. This is a big deal. Some of you might think, "Boy, every time I heard him preaching lately, he's talking about the Holy Spirit." There's a reason for that, because I believe it's the greatest lack among us is the power of God through His Holy Spirit in His fullness. I said this last time. We're not talking about the Spirit trying to influence us. We're talking about a true Spirit baptism, the fullness of it. And that's what I want. And I say it again, I can't rest if I don't get it. I must have it. We must all have it. And pray, because the Lord will show you. I can't even tell you the things the Lord is showing me lately about myself, because it's too embarrassing. Seriously, it's the stuff the Lord has shown me lately, I didn't even have a clue that I had at all. And it's not very easy to deal with. But what do I do with it when I see it? I can get all depressed and give up and cry like a baby, or I can give it to Him, because I can't make myself better. But the Lord can come in and make me a better man. Right? You should all put onto your feet with that statement and say amen. I know the saints like to sit. Fire, number three, fire gives light. If you were in total darkness, and I'm sure we've all been there at certain times in total darkness, both physically and otherwise, where we feel like it's all dark, how nice it is if you have a torch to light and it's all dark and the fire flames up. We use the batteries now and all this stuff, but it's still light. And light symbolizes many things in Scripture: wisdom, discernment, truth. If I have light, if I have spiritual light, and this is something that's really pushed and pressed on me also lately, because if I have light, I can see. But I don't just want to see. I want to have second sight. I want to see the invisible. I want to see what I can't see with my physical sense of sight. Here's a question. How well do you see yourself? This is a very serious question. Not how well do you see your neighbor or the person sitting in the church, somewhere around the church, or someone in the family, or someone who's doing something somewhere according to the internet, and we're reading about it. How well do we see ourselves? I am firmly convinced that I cannot see myself correctly unless God shows me who I am. We have an amazing ability to be self-deceived. And it's a serious matter. I want the light of God to shine into every part and show me who I really am. Do you have the courage to do that? Because if you do, and you're serious with God, He will show you. But He will not show you everything at once, because it will wipe you out. He will show you as you are able to bear it. And then He will give you the strength to deal with it, and you carry on. It's actually a wonderful experience. Because the more we become like God and the more we're in harmony with Him, I believe the more what's the word? Fulfilling life becomes. It's an adventure with God. You know, I really like this little story in the Old Testament in the Kings, where Elisha and his servant, the king of Syria was upset because everything he said, every plan that he made, somebody was finding out, and he finally figured out that the Lord was telling Elisha everything that they were talking about. So he says, well, we got to get that Elisha guy because he's a nuisance. How can we wage war when he knows the secret counsels? And of course, Elisha didn't know anything. The Lord told Elisha. And he said, well, he found out where Elisha was, so he sent the army in and they surrounded the little town. And they get up in the morning and Elisha's servant, bless his heart, I probably would have been the servant. Same thing. He looks out and all he could see were Syrians in full battle array, ready to go. And Elisha is not even remotely concerned. You know why? Because the fire of God had given him that second sight. And he prays that beautiful little prayer. God, open my servant's eyes so he can see reality. And everything, when he opened his eyes, everything around, everywhere, was the army of the Lord. Now, don't you think that happens now? I do. Do you think angels are around now when we need them? When the enemy is pressing whatever form, are they not there? Can we not see? We need to see. I like this one. So do a lot of other people I know. Fire provides warmth. Who likes to be warm? Some people don't like to be too warm. They like it rather cool, even in their homes. Some people like a lot of heat in their homes, but I won't name any names because some are here. But fire, warmth on a cold winter's day, how good is it when you're out in these wild winds and you get inside and there's a fire burning and you can, you know, pull up your chair or whatever, your nice chair, and lean back and feel the warmth just slowly finding its way around and inside your body. Isn't that lovely? When you're too cold, are you comfortable? No. Is the Holy Spirit a comforter? Of course. Is that good? Do we need comfort? We sure do need comfort because we're in a war and we need comfort. And sometimes I've discovered, because when we go through rough things or hard things or we're feeling a bit down, how many of you have this desire in you for someone to understand? I think that's human, isn't it? We want someone to understand us. We wish someone could actually hear what we're saying. Because a lot of times, even if you tell people stuff, they don't hear what you're saying. They don't empathize with you. They don't feel with you. That's what compassion means, by the way, to feel with. And very few people can do it. And sometimes we have to go to God because he's the only one who actually understands. And you know, I come to a conclusion. I can't understand anybody. I literally am not able to understand everything that goes on in anyone. And I got to flip that over and say, you know what it's going to be, don't you? I don't need to expect anyone to fully understand me. And the more I try, the more miserable I become. Because there's only one, and the one who understands me completely has everything that I need. Amen? That doesn't mean that we should not seek to be understanding of one another. But we got to rely on our God. Otherwise, we're going to rely on people in the wrong way. The fire that consumes, the fire that refines, the fire that gives light, fire provides warmth. And the last one, fire as passion. Well, and I'm sure we've all heard about this because there's a lot of songs about this kind of stuff. Bob Seger wrote one, "The Fire Inside, burning me up," he said, "burning me up." Are we on fire for God? We have to answer this question once and for all. And it's a troubling question because we need to be honest. What are we really passionate about? Because whatever you're really passionate about, that tells you where your heart is. It's not complicated. What takes your time? What do you get excited about if you're talking about it? What are you really, what am I really passionate about? It's a hard question, isn't it? Some people that I meet, the only thing when I meet them, and I don't see them all the time, and I thank God for it every day, because every time I see them, they talk about one topic. What do you think it is? Money. Completely obsessed with money. And I'm thinking to myself, that man, whom I don't want to see anymore if I can help it, is obsessed and passionate about money. He wants more and he hates it if someone else got some. His passion is money. What's the other one that I might hear about? Sports. Oh, sports is a big one. Some people I know, every time I see them, they're talking about the latest game, whatever it is. That's okay, but that's all they talk about. Some people are passionate about health. Yeah, that could be, absolutely. Some are passionate about the weather. Yeah, I think all Newfoundlanders are passionate about the weather. I really do. Absolutely. What are we passionate about? The list goes on and on. It's as varied as people are varied. What are we passionate about? I hope and pray that we don't become, because this passionate, what we're passionate about can become our gods. And I hope we don't become children of lesser gods. There's lots of them. I don't want to be a child of a lesser God when I have the great Lord God Almighty. Do you? I want to be fired up for God and for... This is the bad one. This is the bad one. This is the one that gets me, because I don't know what to do with this one yet. The Lord is working on me with this one. How much passion do we have for those who do not know God? It's a serious, serious issue. How much passion do we have for souls who do not know God? And I've been challenged by this lately in my quiet time, and I've had to make a confession to God. My love for souls, my passion for souls, is nowhere near where God wants it to be. But I'm not going to give up and get discouraged and say, oh, it's all over for me. I'm a hopeless case. I am not a hopeless case. And neither are you. If your love for people is not where it should be, then God can put that in you and in me. Amen? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That word in Greek means we're bursting with the love of God. The Spirit is the one who brings it, and we can't stay quiet. We'll do anything that God asks us to do to reach someone for Him. And you know what? We won't find it a burden. If you find doing things for God a burden, please don't do them until the burden leaves you. And it's a joy because you're a nuisance for the kingdom. I know all about it. God wants us on fire for Him. And then He can do anything that He wants. I want you to understand, I'm not standing up here like, I hope you're not thinking I'm dreaming these weird things up, because I'm not. You haven't heard anything yet, because we have no idea what God really wants to do in and through us. I don't think we do. And after a long period of time, it can get to the point where you're just living. I don't want to just live. I don't want to survive gritting my teeth. I'm going into the kingdom one way or another kind of thing. I don't want that. I want to enjoy this life, because I don't know how many days I got left. The polar bear may get me, but at least I will see one before I die. But you know what I mean. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him first. Him. He is first, last, and best in everything. Now, what a beautiful life that would be if He's first, last, and best in everything. Everything. I'm getting fired up here. I might never sit down. No. I just want you to, in closing, I just want you to meditate on these things. Meditate on being, you know, the fire. Baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And see where the Lord will lead you. And I would like to hear from you as the Lord leads you sometime down the road. You might be able to share something with me that will encourage me.